Today is the 14th day of April. Welcome. Welcome back around the global campfire. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Grateful to be here with you today. Grateful for the next step. So a little sip of coffee here. And we're ready to go. Joshua chapter 9, verse 3. Through 10, verse 43. However, when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, they responded by coming up with a clever scheme. They gathered their provisions as if they were going on a trip. They loaded worn-out sacks on their donkeys and wineskins that were worn out, split and mended. They put worn-out patched sandals on their feet, and they put on worn-out clothing. All the bread in their provisions was dried out. It had begun to crumble. Then they came to Joshua at the camp at Gilgal and told him and the men of Israel, "We have come from a land far away, so now make a treaty with us." The men of Israel said to the Hivites, "Perhaps you live among us. How can we make a treaty with you?" They said to Joshua, "We are your servants." So Joshua said to them, "Who are you, and where do you come from?" They said to him, "Because of the name of the Lord your God, your servants have come from a land very far away. For we heard the report about him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites, who were in the area east of the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, who was in Ashtaroth. Our elders and all the inhabitants of our lands said to us, 'Take in your hand provisions for the journey and go to meet them.' You should say to them, 'We are your servants, so now make a treaty with us. This bread of ours was hot when we packed for the trip at our houses on the day we set out to come to you. Now look, it is dried out and has become crumbs. The wineskins were new when we filled them. Look, they have burst. Look at our clothing and our sandals. They wore out because of the great length of the journey.' Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not seek the word of the Lord. So Joshua made peace with them. He made a treaty with them to let them live. And the leaders of the community swore an oath to them. But 3 days after they had made the treaty with them, the Israelites heard that they were their neighbors. That is, they were living among them. So the people of Israel set out and came to the Gibeonites' cities on the third day. Their cities were Gibeon, Kephira, Beeroth, and Kiriath-Jearim. But the people of Israel did not attack them because the leaders of the congregation had sworn an oath to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. So the whole community grumbled against the leaders. All the leaders said to the community, "We swore an oath to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. So now we are not able to touch them. This is what we should do with them. We will keep them alive so that there will not be anger against us because of the oath that we swore to them." Then the leader said to the community, "They shall live." So they became woodcutters and water carriers for the whole community, just as the leaders had advised concerning them. Then Joshua summoned them and said to them, "Why did you deceive us by saying we live very far away from you, when in fact you live right among us? So now you are cursed. The name slave will never be removed from you. You will always be woodcutters and water carriers for the house of my God." They answered Joshua, "Your servants were told very clearly that the Lord your God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to exterminate all the inhabitants of the land from your presence. We feared greatly for our lives because of you. That is why we did this. So here we are in your hand. whatever seems good and right in your eyes to do to us, do it. So that is what he did to them. He saved them from the hand of the people of Israel, so that they did not kill them. On that day, Joshua designated them as woodcutters and water carriers, for the community and for the altar of the Lord, for the place the Lord would choose, until this very day. When Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had captured Ai and devoted it to destruction, and that Joshua had done to Ai and its king exactly what he had done to Jericho and its king, and that the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were allied with them, then he and those with him were very afraid, because Gibeon was a large city, like one of the royal capital cities. It was larger than Ai, and all its men were warriors. So Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent word to Hoham, king of Hebron, to Piram, king of Jarmuth, to Japhia, king of Lachish, and to Debir, king of Eglon. He said, "Come up, join me, and help me. We must attack Gibeon, because it made peace with Joshua and with the Israelites." So the five kings of the Amorites, namely the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered together and went up with all their divisions. They set up camp around Gibeon and waged war against it. The men of Gibeon sent word to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal, saying, "Do not withdraw your hand from your servants. Come up to us quickly. Save us. Help us. Because all the kings of the Amorites living in the hill country have united themselves against us." So Joshua went up from Gilgal, he and all the military forces with him, including all the strong warriors. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them, because I have given them into your hand. Not a man among them will be able to stand in your presence." So Joshua came upon them unexpectedly by marching up from Gilgal all night. The Lord threw them into a panic before Israel, and he struck a powerful blow against them at Gibeon. Then he chased them on the road that goes up to Beth Haran, and he struck them as far as Azekah and Makeda. While they were fleeing from Israel on the descent from Beth Haran, the Lord hurled large stones from the heavens on them all the way to Azekah. So they died. Those who died from the hailstones were many more than those whom the Israelites killed by the sword. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord on the day that the Lord gave the Amorites into the power of Israel, when he struck them down at Gibeon, and they were struck down before the people of Israel. He said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, rest at Gibeon. Moon, rested Valley of Aijalon." The sun rested, and the moon stood still, until a nation could avenge itself on its enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jashar? The sun stood still in the middle of the sky and did not hurry to set for about a whole day. There has never been a day like that day, either before it or after it. A day when the Lord listened to the voice of a man, for the Lord was fighting for Israel. And Joshua and all Israel with him returned to the camp at Gilgal. Those five kings fled and hid in the cave at Makeda. It was reported to Joshua, "The five kings have been found hiding in the cave at Makeda." So Joshua said, "Roll large stones against the mouth of the cave, and station men over it to guard them. But you, do not stand still. Chase your enemies and attack them from the rear. Do not give them a chance to get into their cities, because the Lord your God has given them into your hand." When Joshua and the people of Israel had inflicted a devastating blow upon them, to the point that they were almost wiped out, though a small group of survivors escaped into the fortified cities, Then all the people returned safely to the camp of Joshua and Makeda. No one dared to speak a word against the people of Israel, against any one of them. Then Joshua said, "Open the mouth of the cave and bring those five kings out to me from the cave." They did so and brought those five kings out to him from the cave. The king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmut, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. When they had brought those kings out to Joshua, he summoned every man of Israel and said to the commanders of the fighting men who had gone with them, "Come, put your feet on the necks of these kings." So they came and put their feet on their necks. And Joshua said to them, "Do not be afraid. Do not be overwhelmed. Be strong and courageous, because the Lord will do these same things to all your enemies against whom you are waging war." Joshua struck them down after that, and after he had killed them, he hung them on five trees. They were hung on the trees until evening. At sunset, Joshua gave the command, and they took them down from the trees and threw them into the cave where they had hidden themselves. They placed large stones over the mouth of the cave, which remain there to this very day. Joshua captured Makeda on that day and struck it and its king with the edge of the sword. He devoted it to destruction, together with every living thing that was in it. He did not leave a survivor. So he did to the king of Makeda just as he had done to the king of Jericho. Then Joshua and all Israel with him moved on from Makeda to Libna and waged war against Libna. The Lord gave it into the hand of Israel, together with its king. He struck Libna with the edge of the sword, together with every living thing that was in it. He did not leave a survivor in it. So he did to its king just as he had done to the king of Jericho. Next, Joshua and all Israel with him moved on from Libna to Lachish. He set up camp against it and waged war against it. The Lord gave Lachish into the hand of Israel. He captured it on the second day, and he struck it with the edge of the sword, together with every living thing that was in it, exactly as he had done to Libna. Then Horam, king of Gezer, came up to help Lachish. But Joshua struck him and his people until he did not leave one survivor for him. Then Joshua and all Israel with him moved from Lachish to Eglon. They set up camp against it and waged war against it. They captured it on that day and struck it with the edge of the sword, together with every living thing that was in it. On that day, he devoted it to destruction, exactly as he had done to Lachish. Then Joshua and all Israel with him went up from Eglon to Hebron, and they waged war against it. They captured it and struck it with the edge of the sword, together with its king and all its settlements, and every living thing that was in it. He did not leave a survivor, exactly as he had done to Eglon. He devoted it to destruction along with everything in it. Next, Joshua and all Israel with him turned back to Debir and waged war against it. He captured it, together with its king and all its settlements. They struck them with the edge of the sword and devoted to destruction every living thing that was in it. He did not leave a survivor. Just as he had done to Hebron, so he did to Debir and its king, just as he had done to Libna and its king. In this way, Joshua struck the whole land, the hill country, the Negev, the Shephelah, and the slopes, together with all their kings. He did not leave a survivor. Every breathing thing he devoted to destruction, just as the Lord, the God of Israel, had commanded him. Joshua struck them from Kadesh Barnea all the way to Gaza, and from the whole land of Goshen all the way to Gibeon. All of these things in their land Joshua captured at one time, because the Lord, the God of Israel, was fighting for Israel. Then Joshua and all Israel with him returned to the camp at Gilgal. Luke 16:19 through 17:10. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, living in luxury every day. A beggar named Lazarus had been laid at his gate. Lazarus was covered with sores and longed to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Besides this, the dogs also came and licked his sores. Eventually, the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus at his side. He called out and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in misery in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in misery. Besides all this, a great chasm has been set in place between us and you, so that those who want to cross from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He said, "Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's home, because I have 5 brothers, to warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." Abraham replied to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Jesus said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for that person if a millstone would be hung around his neck and he would be thrown into the sea, than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. Watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. Even if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times returns to you and says, 'I repent,' forgive him." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord said, "If you had faith like a mustard seed, you could tell this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Which one of you who has a servant plowing or taking care of sheep will say to him when he comes in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at the table'? Won't the master tell him instead, 'Prepare my supper, and after you are properly dressed, serve me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink.' He does not thank the servant because he did what he was commanded to do, does he? So also you, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what we were supposed to do.'" Psalm 83. Surrounded by enemies. A song, a psalm by Asaph. God, do not keep silent. Do not be deaf. Do not be quiet, God. Look, your enemies are in an uproar, and those who hate you have raised their head. Against your people they devise deceptive schemes, and they plot together against the people you treasure. They say, "Come, let us wipe them out as a nation, so the name of Israel will not be remembered anymore." Indeed, with one mind they plot together. They form an alliance against you. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarites, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Even Ashur has joined with them. They have become the arm of the sons of Lot. Do to them as you did to Midian, as you did to Sisera and Jabin at the stream of Kishon. They perished at Endor. They became like manure for the ground. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb, all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, "Let us take possession of God's pastures for ourselves." My God, make them like tumbleweed, like chaff before the wind. As fire burns the forest, or as a flame sets the mountains on fire, so pursue them with your violent wind, and terrify them with your storm. Fill their faces with shame so that they will seek your name, O Lord. May they be ashamed and terrified forever. May they be disgraced and perish. Let them know that you, whose name is the Lord, you alone are the Most High over all the earth. Proverbs 13:4. The appetite of a lazy person craves things, but he gets nothing. The appetite of hard-working people is fully satisfied. Okay, so there's drama. There's victory that takes place in the Promised Land today as we move through the book of Joshua. A deception eventually catapults the entire region where the children of Israel are into complete war. The reality of Israel's presence in that land, like, was incredibly disruptive as we read the narrative. Any arrogance that God's enemies might have had, they were intimidated by the Israelites and God. They were afraid. So one of the people groups, they're called the Gibeonites, they got together and were actually proactive and shrewd. So they had a large city and they had warriors who were respected. But they also understood God's reputation, and they knew that they were likely, if not sure, to be conquered in battle. So they decided it would be better to serve the Hebrew people than to be dead. So they sent ambassadors into the camp of Israel and lied that they had traveled from far away in pursuit of peace with the God of Israel. In the end, their request, though, for a treaty was granted. But once Joshua realized they were neighbors and not people from a distant land, he couldn't break the treaty. He made a promise, a covenant. You can't break it. So the defeat of Jericho and Ai, combined with the peace treaty with the Gibeonites, unhinged the balance of power in the entire region. So the kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmut, Lachish, and Eglon, like, they became allies to come together as one to attack Gibeon, a stronghold city, to come against them in retribution for their peace treaty with Israel, which then forced Joshua to enter the battle on behalf of Gibeon, the people who tricked him, because of the same covenant, the same promise. So Joshua marches all night and surprise attacks these five southern kings, and they win and rout them. And so just like that, Israel has gained a huge swath of the Promised Land to settle into. Now they have like a massive amount of territory that they have conquered because they were attacked. So I'll have to see kind of how this continues to play out as we continue in the days ahead. Proverbs today is a reminder that we need to hear. It's easy enough to fall into just daydreaming, like wasting time, hoping and wishing for what we don't have. Even if those daydreams were within reach, they're not gonna happen because we daydream about them. Like, they're not gonna magically happen. To prosper at anything, including our spiritual journey, including investing in our relationships with our spouses, including a relationship with God, well, we will have to be willing to do hard work, because all of it is hard work. The appetite of a lazy person craves things, but he gets nothing. The appetite of hardworking people gets fully satisfied. Let's remember that today as we continue our journey through this week. And Holy Spirit, we invite you into that. It's easy for us to live in a fantasy world that turns to a lot of envy and bitterness, jealousy, competition, a lot of things. But we don't actually ever tend to our own field, our own lives. We don't actually work hard where we are with what we have. Even though we spend all the energy, we waste all the energy on what we could be doing productively by waking up and paying attention and working hard. And so, Holy Spirit, come. Lead us away from wasting our lives and help us to open our eyes and ears and be present to the gift that you have given us of today. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are our home base. And we're about to move kind of through a transition into a new home base. And the details of that are coming soon. But they are home base, even though they're going to transition. So being familiar with them as we kind of get ready to move is a good thing. So grab the Daily Audio Bible app that's current if you don't have it installed on your device. That way, as an update comes, that's something that you have access to quickly. And then as we move in together, we can talk about it. So, yeah, just kind of heads up. Nervous. I've, so many times thought I was going to be giving a heads up, and then it was a long while before we kind of got back to that place. But really hopeful that we've worked really, 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 really hard. Really, really hard. And really long to get to this place. So keep it in your prayers. Make sure you have the current app, are familiar with the current website, and stay tuned. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. And the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you. Yep. And I will be waiting for you here. Tomorrow.
Hi, Fish. There's a daughter of Hope in Colorado and Terry from Ohio. I heard your message and my heart just dropped. In 2020, 2 days before COVID shut down, you know, our country, I lost my husband. You know, he had gone in for medical help and did not receive it because they were more worried about COVID at the time. So I just want to pray over you. I pray for the Lord to just supernaturally bring you a calm and a peace and a presence that surpasses all understanding. I pray for him to just put the right people around you to support you through this season. It is one of the hardest things I've had to walk through. I also want to pray for caregivers out there. I'm caring for my mom with late stage dementia. She's no longer here mentally, but I'm caring for her body, and it's such a hard road. So pray for all the caregivers out there, whether you are caring for someone that's disabled or ill or suffering mental, you know, issues like dementia. I pray for God's spirit to just flow over you and give you the strength and the patience, and just the love that you need and the support you need to get through this season in your life. I pray that he sends the right supportive people around you. And I just want you to know that you are not alone. There are so many of us out here that understand. So I just surrender this to God. And I just pray and send my love to you, all of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, beautiful dabbers. This is Dawn Baby from Oregon now, formerly from Denver. And I just wanted to say how grateful I am for this beautiful tribe, this awesome Hardin family, with all of your beautiful gifts and the things that you do for us. I'm eternally grateful. The Word of God read fresh is so powerful every day. And your commentary, Brian, is really powerful. I'm going to get that book one of these days when I have a coffee table. Oh, friends, I want to say to you, I'm praying for all of you. I hear your prayers and your heartfelt pain and beauty and praises. And I just want to say yes and amen. I'm quietly praying in the background, and I just want you to know that I'm so grateful for all of you. Thank you for who you are in this community. You matter. I love it when I hear people come in and say, hey, this is my first time. If you haven't joined us and come in and said something, please add your voice to this glorious community, earth touching heaven and heaven touching earth. We welcome you. We love you. You're prayed for whether we know you're there or not, because God knows you're there, and you're not alone. We are here together. God bless you all. Have a beautiful rest of the week.
Hi, this is Winnie B. I'm just calling to ask for prayer. It's been a long journey just trying to figure out what's going on. And I praise God for giving me good doctors, nurses, administrative staff. Everyone's been so supportive and so uplifting and so helpful in helping me. But I'm having surgery on April 15th for a full hysterectomy. And I'm praying that that everything, of course, will go through smoothly, and that God will give the doctors and nurses wisdom as how to best treat me and take care of me during that time. And I'm praying also that I won't need a blood transfusion. I'm a little anemic because I lost a lot of blood. So I'm just praying that that will be resolved during the process, and that I won't need a transfusion, and that recovery will be good. I'll be out of work for about 4 weeks, so I'm just asking God for mercy and grace and for strength and renewal. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, this is Amy calling from Troutdale, Oregon, and I just heard our sweet sister Terry from Ohio calling in at the end of the April 8th podcast, and as she has just recently lost her husband. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are the great comforter. Oh, thank you, God, for how you comfort us, how you love us. You love us so well, so perfectly, so tenderly, God. We bring before you our sweet sister, Terry, Lord, as she has suffered a great loss this side of heaven, a great loss, a husband of 48 years, Lord. That's a lifetime. God, would you comfort her? Would you comfort her? Would you hold her? Would you surround her with friends and loved ones who will give her all the space and all the time that she needs to grieve, Lord? All the space and all the time that she needs to grieve. Lord, that nobody would try to rush her down any road towards whatever they may want for her, but they would just give her the grace and the space to grieve. Comfort her, God, hold her. Sister, we will be praying for you. Much love to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to pray for young families, women that have just had a baby, mothers nursing and getting up at night, fathers holding their young child's hand, going to work, doing dishes and laundry. I want to lift up those young families that are struggling with financial issues, but just trying to make it work. They have goals. They have dreams. I pray, Lord, that you just allow them to see your glory. Allow them to have peace, to feel rest. These days it's so hard to get rest, especially when you have so many little ones. I pray, Lord, that you just meet them where they're at. Allow them to see your beautiful love. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for sunlight and air and a place to rest. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, DAB family. This is Titus 2 calling from Maryland. I just want to say that I am always so encouraged by the loving kindness of this community, this family, and just the faithful prayers of the saints. I've only ever called in once before. I've been listening for a few years now. My prayer request is that my husband and I would like to conceive a child. It's really just that. I know that he is on the throne and he opens and closes the womb. I'll be honest, I've gotten discouraged, I think, when I see others around me announcing pregnancies. It's hard not to compare. So pray for me in that I would trust in God's plan for my life and that his timing is perfect. Thank you all. Again, Titus 2 from Maryland. Bye.